And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52, just outside of Mill Creek, Missouri. That is where my deer stand is going to be. And I'm not giving you the geographic location of my top secret deer blind. I'm not telling you. I will tell you that it's somewhere outside of Mill Creek, Missouri, in Mark Twain National Forest. If you want to find it from there, be my guest. Deer season, just around the corner, rifle season. There's been some that's been bow hunting already. There has been some, they have a youth hunt in the state of Missouri, which in some cases, not all, some cases, a young person, I think under the age of 14 or something like that, they actually get to kill a deer. But we always see in the papers around here, some guy with his 8-year-old daughter standing there in front of this great big old 14-point buck, and we're going, she didn't shoot that. There is no way she shot that. Anyway, I am headed to the woods tomorrow morning. Me and Matthew and Antonio and Jim Cedric and who else from our church is going? I don't know how many people are going. Not all to the same place, by the way. But we are headed to the woods, and we are going to exercise, number one, our right as American citizens. Number two, our right as Bible believers. God gave us dominion over the fish of the sea, and so I think you ought to eat fish. Over the fowl of the air, I think you ought to eat chicken. And over the beasts of the field, I think. I am, don't get me wrong, I am an animal lover. I love them with gravy, ketchup, whatever I can pour on them. Right next to, I can't eat potatoes anymore. I used to love to eat big old mashed potatoes and things. I can't eat that stuff anymore. So anyway, but it's good to be with you today. I am feeling a lot better, even though in my bones are aching. And I am one of the fortunate ones who has not lost my health insurance. Have you been reading what's going on? Obama is in a tailspin right now with this whole healthcare deal. It's turning out, and it is turning out worse than what everybody was trying to warn everybody else it would turn into. You've got the worst managed entity in the entire world, which is the American government, going to take over one of the most sophisticated, top-notch industries in the entire world, and that is the American healthcare system. And for all of its good or bad, for the most part, it worked. And now it doesn't. See, the government stepped in, and they fixed it, all right. It makes me angry is what it does. And I think if poor people needed health insurance, I think there's a better way to do it. I think that there is a better way to do it than this. And we are in a socialistic tailspin headed toward communism. You just mark my words, it's coming. And some would say, well, what's so wrong with communism? You know what? Let me read something. I've got this on the bottom of the list, but I'm going to go ahead and read it now. Communism is anti-God. It is anti-Bible. It is anti-Christ. That's what it is. And just because you've been liberalized over the years to believe that, well, Christ would want us to give everything to the poor people. That is not what the Bible teaches. It's not what Christ said. It was Jesus himself who taught the parable of the five wise virgins who had taken care of business and had got enough oil for themselves. And when those five foolish ones, the Bible didn't say they were handicapped, didn't say they had mental disabilities, didn't say they were senior citizens. The Bible does teach us to take care of the elderly. It didn't say that. It says they were foolish. And there's a lot of foolish Americans out there who can work but won't work. And that's because the government has enabled them to not work. But Jesus taught the parable. And he basically said the five foolish virgins come up and said, we don't have any oil. Can we have some of your oil? And the five wise ones said, no, can't have our oil. If you take our oil, there will not be enough for us. Don't you understand that? It won't work. And then we'll be out. And we need this oil because our bridegroom is coming. Go buy for yourself. Go to work and go buy for yourself. And so that's what and Jesus taught that parable. And I'm telling you, socialism is the first cousin to communism, and we are headed in that way. And I am against communism. I am against socialism. I am against all of that stuff. I think that when you have a socialistic government or a communistic government, you lose your freedoms. And when you lose your freedoms, this program goes, everything goes, and your Bible will go. Mark my words. Ask yourself the question, has there ever been, in the last two centuries, a Christian communist government? And the answer is no. Russia, the first thing they did in the communist Bolshevik takeover of Russia was clamp down on Bible Christianity. Do you know why? Because Bible Christianity is against the collectivist thoughts of Lenin and Karl Marx and all these other people. It actually teaches land ownership. We can't have that in a communist society. It teaches land ownership. It teaches personal responsibility. It teaches morality. It teaches people that they have God-given rights. We can't have that in a communist society. So they clamped down. The Russian Orthodox churches made a backdoor deal with the communist government saying, we'll keep our mouth shut and support you, but just leave us going. Because there's a lot of money coming through here. And that's exactly what happened. China, same thing. Cuba, that's what JFK called Cuba. Cuba, same thing. North Korea, I saw this. This was on FoxNews.com. North Korea publicly executes 80 people, some for Bibles. As many as 80 people were publicly executed in North Korea. By the way, North Korean Christians do not believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. They don't believe in it. As many as 80 people were publicly executed in North Korea earlier this month, some for offenses as minor as watching South Korean movies or possessing a Bible. Shot in the streets. Let me read it. The South Korean newspaper reported that the so-called criminals were put to death in seven cities across North Korea. See, that's seven. That just kind of jumps out at me. Seven heads of the beast. On November 3rd, 11-3. Think about it. In the first known large-scale public executions by Kim Jong-un regime, a source who is familiar with internal affairs in the North and who recently visited the country told the paper that about 10 people were killed in each city. Eight people, their heads covered with white bags, were tied to stakes at a local stadium in the city of Wonsan before authorities shot them with a machine gun, according to the source. Wonsan authorities gathered a crowd of 10,000 people, including children, at the Shinpung Stadium and forced them to watch the killings. I heard from the residents that they watched in terror as the corpses were so riddled by machine gun fire that they were hard to identify afterward, the Jungang Ilbo source said. That's the South Korean newspaper. Most of the Wonsan victims were charged with watching or illegally trafficking South Korean videos, involvement in prostitution, or possessing a Bible. A Bible. Now, here's the rule in North Korea. When you are accused of sedition against the state of North Korea, either by possessing a Bible or by whispering to somebody that you think Kim Jong-un's hair looks funny, then you could be taken and executed, or you are put in one of their work camps. But it doesn't stop there. the regime of North Korea has had a long-standing protocol in place that when you break one of the laws, they come get you and your children and your grandchildren. Because the idea is that you have infected them with your capitalistic Christian ideas. So relatives or accomplices of the execution victims implicated in their alleged crimes were sent to prison camps. There's no clear reason for the executions. One government official noted they occurred in cities that are centers of economic development. Wonsan is a port city that Kim is reportedly planning to make a tourist destination. Well, that works for me. I can't wait to buy my ticket to North Korea just to see the sights. I'd like to go to their stadium, see what's happening at their stadium. Simultaneous executions in seven cities could suggest an extreme measure by the North Korean government to quell public unrest or any capitalistic inclinations that may accompany its development projects. And I'm telling you, Kim Jong-un knows the dangers of what's in the Bible. He gets it. He knows that if people start reading the Bible, then they will develop non-socialist ideas. They will develop the idea that God gives them rights that earthly rulers cannot alienate them from. They will get the idea that it's okay by God to own private property and to grow your own food. And that while the Bible does allow for a secondary gleaning of poor people to glean from your fields as a way to bring in food or sustenance for themselves, the primary responsibility over a piece of ground is yours, and you have the first rights to it, to the first fruits. Those are dangerous ideas in a communistic country. They hate the Bible. And listen, if you think that this is just a way to provide health care to everybody, fooey on youy. It is the steps and the road to communism. And I'm dead serious. Nobody, no Christian in North Korea, and there are some, you just imagine the danger that you would be in to become a born-again, Bible-believing Christian in North Korea. I found my trash can, by the way. A Bible-believing Christian in North Korea. But there are those who do it. And I'm just guessing that none of them have ever heard of a rapture that takes place before any bad thing happens. I don't think that when they read their Bible, I don't think that they saw that in there. Especially the relatives and family members who just watched their dad get blown away by bullets. Just a thought. I appreciate everybody praying for me yesterday. And I have days like this every now and then. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just devils that just like to beat up on me. And you know what? I'm fine with that. I really am. I am fine with that. I'd rather have that over hell any day of the week and twice on Sundays. I would. I'm feeling a little bit better today, but my bones have been achy. And on top of just being out of sorts yesterday and sullen and everything else, not really able to do a whole lot. On top of that, many of you watched our church service last night, and I was just being honest with everybody about how I felt, and several of you said you were blessed by the message, and it was a good message. I forgot to record it. We streamed it. I just forgot to record it. So we don't have a recording of last night. And then on top of that, after church, I am just... My bones, my joints, my hips, my back, my neck, my arms, they're achy. They're achy now. I woke up this morning that way. I thought, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And then I got dressed and went to work. And I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. But as a result
of all that. I just barely got out a Bible study yesterday and church service last night, and I did not record the final part of the Divine Spark Watchman video broadcast. I didn't record that. Didn't record it yesterday. I didn't record it today. And tomorrow's not looking real good either. I mean, tomorrow I'm going to the woods. We do have a video that we are going to put out this weekend. It's another part of the New York conference that we did. And so we will have something with which to give everybody. But this last part of this Divine Spark series, it basically shows from the Scripture that we, you and I, living right now, if we are at the time of the Lord's coming, and who doesn't believe that? I mean, seriously. That I believe with all of my heart, this is something that God put in me years ago as I began to study the Word, that we are appointed to a trial by fire. I believe it. I believe it's coming. I did not say mid-trib. I did not say post-trib. I did not say, I don't use those terms. To be honest with you, I don't think the framework that has been laid out by the tree trib ideology, I don't believe that it accounts for everything that's in the Scripture. I just don't see. I used to be dyed in the wool, hardcore pre-trib, can't talk me out of it. But when I decided, when God called me into studying Bible prophecy, the deal that I made with God was I'm going to toss out everything that I thought that I knew, because I would always see verses that didn't quite match up with what I was taught. And so I threw it out. I threw everything out. And I said, now, God, I'm going to read this book, and you show me from this book what's going to happen, how to understand what's going on. Do I know all of it all? No. No way in the world do I know everything. In fact, the more I study, the more I realize the less I know. And if you're an honest student of the Word of God, the more you study the Bible, the more you just go, man, I only thought I knew something. Wow. But I will be recording that next week, and I believe that we are headed for a trial by fire. A fiery trial, which is to try us. That's what I believe. And I believe it exactly the way the King James Bible spells it out. That's what I believe. Are we close to let's see, the coming of the Lord, the New World Order, things like that. Here's a story. I gotta tell you this. Last night, it took me a while to get to sleep last night. Last night, I had a thought. I was communing on my bed and just thinking of Scriptures. And I mentioned it to Jazz earlier today, our web mistress. And I had this thought in my head that I have to know from Scripture whether it's right or not. That I think one of the plans of the Antichrist is that he is going to try to change times. And I said that exactly the way the Bible says it. All right. I can't even go any farther than that, because I have to develop the thought first. I have to study the Scripture and have to, you know. But just think about what that could imply. He seeketh to change times. Think about that. All right? And no, it's not the Catholic Church putting the Sabbath day on Sunday. I don't call Sunday the Sabbath day. I don't call it that. I don't know who started doing that, but I don't do it. The Sabbath day is still the seventh day. That's what the Bible says. And I'm content with leaving it there. Anyway, here is an article. Military chaplains banned from saying Jesus. Two Baptist chaplains said they were forced out of a Veterans Affairs chaplain training program after they refused orders to stop quoting the Bible and to stop praying in the name of Jesus. Good for those guys. When the men objected to those demands, they were subjected to ridicule and harassment that led to one of the chaplains leaving the program and the other being ejected, according to a federal lawsuit filed Friday. The Conservative Baptist Association of America is suing Secretary of Veterans Affairs Eric Shinseki, alleging two of their chaplains were openly ridiculed by the leader of the San Diego-based VADOD Clinical Pastoral Education Center program. Not only was the treatment of these men received inappropriate, it was also a violation of federal law and the religious freedom guarantees of the First Amendment, said John Wells, an attorney representing the Colorado-based denomination. No American choosing to serve in the armed forces should be openly ridiculed for his Christian faith, he said, calling it one of the most blatant cases of religious discrimination he's ever seen. And here's what's peculiar to me, and I'm not knocking these chaplains. I am for them all the way, but you can see where the persecution is starting to creep in. You can see it. Will there be a time when we will get shot for owning a Bible? Jesus said, and they shall kill some of you. That's what he said. Is it possible? It's not only possible, it's prophesied. But here's what gets me. Now, the Conservative Baptist Association, I don't know this particular group. I do know that in the Southern Baptist group, there are a large amount of deacons and pastors who belong to an organization called Freemasons. And in Freemasonry, you are not allowed to say the dirty little word of Jesus. You cannot pray in his name. You cannot say his name. They don't want the name. And I want you to think about this. The sacred namers, the witchcraft practitioners of sacred name-ism, and it is, it's all about witchcraft. The sacred namers do not want you to say the name Jesus. They don't want that name said. The military doesn't want the name Jesus said. Freemasonry does not want the name Jesus said. Contemporary Christian music does not want the name Jesus spoken. And there is an increasing amount of organizations, societies, different groups in this country that do not want the name Jesus pronounced. Any other name is fine. You can say Allah, you can say Mohammed, you can say Buddha, you can say Joe Smith, you can say whatever you want to. You cannot say the name of Jesus. What does that tell you? I just quote scripture that at the name of who? Jesus. Well, Pastor, but Pastor, you don't understand. Pastor, you just don't understand. Yahushua is how it was pronounced in the original Hebrew. I'm going to ask you a question. How do you know? How do you know that? Seeing that there are no vowels in the Hebrew letters. in the original Hebrew that was written on the scrolls, there are no vowels. There are not even any vowel markings. Those didn't show up, even if you look at the Dead Sea Scrolls. No vowels. They didn't show up till hundreds of years later. So how do you know? And the truth is you don't, because in your little factions of sacred namism, there's about 20 different variants of how you're supposed to say Yahuwahashua. And I dare you to open up my... Here. Open up this can and prove to me how right you are. I dare you. They don't want the name Jesus spoken. Google files for patent on scary-looking Mark of the Beast-style RFID throat tattoo. High-tech companies, we continue their upward momentum towards the merging of man and computer. Get ready, it's coming. A Mark of the Beast system where we will all be controlled by computer. Internally, search engine giant Google is spending billions to help bring this about, and we present to you their latest offering in 666 culture, the RFID throat tattoo. By the way, I've got some graphics I'm going to show you in a little bit. 666 culture, remember that. It's a good term. From CNN. Google-owned Motorola Mobility has filed for a patent published last week for a system, quote, that comprises an electronic skin tattoo capable of being applied to a throat region of a body. The patent says the tattoo would communicate with smartphones, gaming devices, tablets, and wearable tech like Google Glass via a Bluetooth-style connection and would include a microphone and power source. The idea is that wearers could communicate with their voices via voice commands without having to wear an earpiece or the glass headset. And how's this for future tech? It could even be used as a lie detector. That would be pretty cool if it could be used as a lie detector for someone to get the throat tattoo and then do a little test. They could start reading the King James Bible, and then they would start reading the NIV, and I bet the machine would go, whoop, 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 whoop. It's a lie. It's not the truth. Interesting phrase here, the 666 culture. Let's see here. An electronic skin tattooed. Oh, yeah. You know what? People have asked me this question. I'm going to show you the brand new can of King James Bible, the Pure Bible Search Software 2.0. Is now available for download. Here it is. Here's the interface. I'm going to type in, I'm going to sweep here. You just press the broom, the besom of destruction, and it clears out the little search engine space here. And since you won't find the word tattoo in the King James Bible, let's type in the word ink and see what we come up with. No, that's not helping me any. What is it? Oh, print. There we go. Print. There we go. Leviticus 19:28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. See how simple that is? Oh, but you, Pastor, you don't understand. I got tattooed for Jesus. I have a thought here. I'm going to type in a phrase. I am the Lord. How many times? 163 times. I don't know what that means. But anyway, ye shall not print any. Let me sweep it again. Print and pull that verse back up here. P-R-I-N-T. Ye shall not print any marks upon you. Well, but Pastor, you don't understand. In the culture that they lived in back then, they were doing that for paganism. We're doing it for Jesus. That's not what God said. That is not what God said. That's like Sarah telling Abraham, you know, maybe Abraham, maybe God said for you to sleep with Hagar. Maybe that's what he meant. See what happens? Do you see what happens when we take the Bible away from what God said to what some guy thinks that he possibly meant? You end up in bed with a slave woman. That's what happens. Well, I'm getting my tattoos for Jesus. You see, I have my tri-catcher here. And I have my my cross here with a center point in it. And I've got a picture. I've got a picture of Joel Osteen and Joyce Myers. But I can't show them to you. He said, don't print any marks. None. He didn't say, now, if it's for me, go ahead. He didn't say that. Oh, Pastor, you're a legalist. No. I believe that God is watching over his people, their welfare and their well-being. And God knows what's coming down the road. And God said, don't do it. That's like the four commandments given to the Gentile believers in the book of Acts chapter 15. Don't eat things strangled. Don't eat anything sacrificed to idols. Don't eat blood. And don't commit fornication. Are they linked together? Oh, yeah. I don't precisely know how yet, but I think that there's going to come a time, people, when you and I will be in the fire, and we're going to see these four things that the apostles said don't do. We're going to see that take place, and we're going to go, don't do that. Don't do that. That's bad. Don't do that. Oh, there's nothing wrong with this. We're not under the law. Don't do it. Speaking of the 666 culture, let me show you this. Who sent that to me? Somebody. Facebook sent it to me. This is the anti-Bethel church. Bill Johnson's Bethel Church, Redding, California. It's some new praise album that they're releasing. It's been bound up and they're releasing it. And so if you can't read that, it says Kingdom Come. And it just happens to have all these as above, so below pyramids in them, which I thought was interesting. Somebody sent me this a while back. This is alien technology, probably in more ways than one. Alien technology, this is an actual company. Aliens. By the way, look right here at the chips. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have 6 here, 6 here, and 6 here. By the way, Alien, this company called Alien Technology specializes in, guess what? Guess what they do? Drum roll, please. Oh, now you can see it. I thought I had it up already. Let me go do this again. In fact, let me go back to the previous slide. Now I got to start all over again. There we go. Kingdom Come. See the as above, so but this is Bill Johnson, Bethel, the anti-Bethel church in Redding, California. And this is some, the Kingdom Come. This is some new praise album. Now here is Alien Technology. That's an actual firm, Alien Technology. And I want you to notice 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have 6 here, 6 here, 6 here. This company specializes in RFID technology, radio frequency identification technology. And they're By the way, you know what? Let's do this. Let's just have some fun here, okay? Let me pull up my King James Bible search software. Let me do a sweep with the besom of destruction and type in the word A-L-I-E-N and then an asterisk. Let's look at these verses. In fact, here's one that's very, very interesting, okay? It is all the way down in Hebrews 11:34. Some of you might get that joke, by the way. Hebrews 11:34, quenched of the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the who? The aliens. Oh, Hoggard, that doesn't mean like little green men from Mars. Yeah, I know it. What it means is, let's look at the exact meaning of the word alien. It means someone who doesn't live here. Someone whose habitation is or dwelling place is from another place. So if someone from, and we have this major problem in America of illegals coming in across the border from Canada into the United States, swarming our country with Canadians, eh? And they don't live here. They weren't from here. That's not their habitation. If they were from another place and they come here, they are an alien. That's what the word means. So if angels leave their own habitation and come here, they are aliens. And I am applying biblical definitions to the word aliens. It would be a nation from a north country, like Canada, coming to a land that is not theirs. They are leaving their habitation and they are coming here. So go back and look at this verse again. Quench the violence of fire. See that? See that? Escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. That's what it says. Let's see here. Where's another place here? Oh, looky here. Here's an interesting verse. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Look at here, Lamentations 5:2. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. What do you think about that? Okay, what do you think about that? Psalm 69:8, here's an interesting one. I'm become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. And so, I mean, you can say, Hoggard, I'm turning it off now. It's official. You're an idiot. I'm just telling, listen, learn the language of the scriptures, believe exactly what it says, and then when you see stuff like this, you can go right to the scriptures and say, I know what that is. And people are going to laugh at you, and they're going to make fun of you, but all you have to do is quote scripture. That's what you do. But anyway, that is alien RFID technology, and again, 123-456-666 right here on their logo. Okay, guys, we're getting, I don't know how close we are. I don't set dates, but that the way that article read a while ago, yeah, we have a 666 culture right now. I saw this at the store. I was at the mall with Sweetie Pie the other day. On a Coke machine. And it's the ISIS. I remember talking about this when it first came out. The ISIS payment system. You use your mobile phone to buy yourself a cool beverage. No money required. What does that have to, what significance does that have? Well, number one, let's look at it. Revelation 13, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their pineal gland, in their forehead, where all their thinking takes place, so that no man might buy or sell. So you go look at this again, and you're going, okay, they are going to control. Do you think there's a possibility that they're going to remove cash from society? And some of you are getting all worked up and saying, listen here, the day they come and get my Johnny Cash records is the day they're going to pry them out of my cold, dead hands. No, that's not what I meant. A cashless society. Why? So you can control it. My boss used to tell me, Hoggard, you know what the golden rule is? And I went, well, I think I do. And he was a good Christian man. He said, Hoggard, the golden rule is the guy who has the gold rules. You know what he was telling me? And he was a very smart, very wise man. And I was very young and stupid. And he basically was telling, Mike, it's my money and it's my business. That means I tell you what and how to do. And I went, oh, okay, I get it. Let's see here, what else here? Oh, look at this one. Michelle, Gary's daughter, sent me that one. The CSI crime scene investigators DNA strand building kit. Build and examine a DNA strand. It's happening right now. I saw this at the Home Depot the other day. It's a tape measure, for crying out loud. Why do we need 3/6 to sell a tape measure? See that, and you can see the hive mentality here. You can see the hive. Here's another one I took. This is actually, I took this one at Brady Crum's restaurant, Jack in the Box. He is a manager of Jack in the Box. A man's got to work to pay his bills. Do you see the beehive back there? And he was standing there, and I pulled out my phone. He said, Hoggy, what you doing? And he looked at it, and he went, oh, you know, I never noticed that before. It's the hive mentality. Here's another one. This is, and maybe Jazz, our web mistress, can explain this better. I don't know what that is. What you need to know about Node.js. This is something about web communication and on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And I read, this is actually from my iPad. There's an app called Flipboard. And if you don't have that app, you are missing out, buddy. I'm telling you, the Flipboard app is one of the coolest apps that I have. I have it on my tablet. I have it on my phone, Android, iPad. It's cool. That's what it is. And it basically turns your phone or your tablet, and it pulls in. You can set up whatever news feeds you want to bring into it. But it's just like flipping through a magazine. It's just cool. But anyway, this was on Flipboard, this article. And it's about web communication or the Internet communication. You see the sixes there. Here's another one. I think Tracy sent this one in. This is some shoe company, which, what does that have to, what does the hive mentality have to do with shoes? It's interesting that, and you just look at the slogan, experience the supernatural. This is the Wave Prophecy 3 shoe with the beehive sixes all over it. Dun, dun, dun. We're getting set up, everybody. We are getting set up. What else? I don't know if I'm going to read all of this one. This was an interesting one. Michelle sent me this. 14 incredibly creepy surveillance technologies that Big Brother will be using to spy on you. I had mentioned on Tuesday's broadcast about what's going on in, what was it, Seattle? All these boxes everywhere. And they're monitoring everybody's cell phones, just tracking every place that you are. And several of you have been sending me that, and I think that's part of this in here. So here is, what is this from? TheClimateViewer.com. 14 incredibly creepy surveillance technologies that Big Brother will use to track you. Number one, pre-crime surveillance cameras. A company known as BRS Labs has developed pre-crime surveillance. Somebody Google image BRS Labs, BRS Laboratories, or go to their website. I have found that a lot of these companies have very interesting logos or captions on their website. Somebody do that. And send me an email, and I'll see if I can see if we can see it. A company known as BRS Labs has developed pre-crime surveillance cameras that can supposedly determine if you are a terrorist or a criminal even before you commit a crime. In its latest project, BRS Labs is to install its devices on the transport system in San Francisco, which includes buses, trams, and subways. The company says we'll put them in 12 stations with up to 22 cameras in each, bringing the total number to 288. The cameras will be able to track up to 150 people at a time in real time and will gradually build up a memory of suspicious behavior to work out what is suspicious. Number two, capturing fingerprints from 20 feet away. Can you imagine someone reading your fingerprints from 20 feet away? This is from Popular Science. Gaining access to your gym or office building could soon be as simple as waving a hand at the front doors. The hand? Get ready. Because I've already started putting the notes together, hopefully over the weekend. I love to do that. I sit in my deer blind, and I hunt. I'll wait for deer to walk by so I can kill it. But I read and study, and I mean, kind of do what I do here, only I'm out in the rain and cold miserable when I'm doing it out there. But I'm going to work on the next part of the Powers series. It's called The Power of the Hand. You might want to study that. Just wave the hand. See, you have powers now. A Huntsville, Alabama-based company called IDAIR, I-D-A-I-R, somebody look that one up, is developing a system that can scan and identify a fingerprint from nearly 20 feet away. Coupled with other biometrics, it could soon allow security cameras systems to grant or deny access from a distance without requiring users to stop and scan a fingerprint, swipe an ID card, or otherwise lose a moment dealing with technology. In other words, you can do exactly what Maxwell Smart did in the, remember the opening of Get Smart? He walks through all of these doors, and they just open up for him automatically. Then he goes in the phone booth and goes down in the pit. Okay? See, it's been going on for a long time. Number three, mobile backscatter vans. American cops are set to join the U.S. military in deploying American science and engineering Z backscatters vans on mobile backscatter radiation X-rays. These are what TSA officials call the amazing radioactive, holy cow, the amazing radioactive genital viewer. That's what the TSA calls them. Now seen in airports around America, ionizing the private parts of children, the elderly, and you. These porno scanner wagons will look like regular anonymous vans and will cruise America's streets, indiscriminately peering through the cars and clothes of anyone in range of its mighty isotope cannon. But don't worry, it's not a violation of privacy. It's not. You have nothing to fear, people. As AS&E's Vice President of Marketing, Joe Rice, says,
From a privacy standpoint, I'm hard-pressed to see what the concern or objection could be.
Really? Really? Number four, hijacking your mind. The Pentagon Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, wants to understand the science behind what makes people violent and then find ways to hijack their minds by implanting false but believable stories in their brains with hopes of evoking peaceful thoughts. We are friends, not enemies. In other words, sending a beam. You see, people who were afraid of this stuff a while back, did you see Signs? You see the movie Signs, and they were wearing the tinfoil on their heads. You remember that? And people thought, are you tinfoil? Yes, that's that tinfoil hat crowd. That's when people think that government can peek inside their mind and make them do stuff in their mind. That's that tinfoil hat crowd. That's who that is. You don't have to listen to them.
Really?
Because we just don't sound so stupid anymore, do we? Just seems to be justified in the concerns that we had years ago. Well, now the technology is in existence and ready to mobilize to put a thought in your head. It is known science that they can aim some sort of instrument at you and make you and you alone hear a voice or a sound that they are projecting right inside of your ear canal. I'm not, that's not make believe. And you hear this voice telling you something. This is not science fiction. It is beyond that. Science vulgarity, science invasion is what it is. Now, let me open up the can here, okay? Let's see. And in case you're fearful of this, here's what Pastor is going to tell you. In fact, I'm not going to tell it to you. I'm going to show you the Word of God. In fact, let me read this verse here. First Corinthians, listen to this. See how valid now this old, archaic, outdated, improperly translated King James Bible. Let's see how valid it really is right now. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. All of a sudden now, the tinfoil hat people and the old stupid King James only people, I hate them people. All of a sudden now, we're not so stupid. All of a sudden now, the words that everybody should have just left alone in the King James, all of a sudden, they're really, really starting to make a lot of sense now. By the way, let me go back. I was going to say this a while ago. Let me go back to this here. The ISIS payment system. You have to ask yourself the question, why do they call it ISIS? Well, she is the harlot. And harlots, if there's one thing that harlots love, aside from money, that's what they love. That's why they named it that. You're not going to find that in the corporate, you know, identity papers. That's why they named it that. Be not deceived, people. Evil communications corrupt good manners. For some reason now, the King James Bible just got dramatically more relevant than it ever has. Someone is, somebody's sending me some emails about the BRS labs. They must have found something here. Let me download the picture, see what I find here. Oh, that looks pretty interesting. Let me pull up their web page here, see if it's anything. Hey, here we go. Let me put that over here, and I will show it thee. Hang on here. Let me get ready with this technology. It's pretty cool. Here's their website. BRS Labs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. See it? C, smarter. AI site. Security as big as your dreams. Man. Whew. Appreciate you sending me that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken. Study the word shaken. Study things that are going to shake. Next Wednesday, I'm going to deal with that on Wednesday night Bible study. Things that are shaken, not stirred. Be not shaken in mind. I believe that there is going to be a shaking coming. Are you ready for that? Because some have told you, you don't even have to read that in the Bible. Because you're going to be gone way before that ever happens. Before any bad thing happens. Before anybody gets shot and killed for possessing the Bible or saying the name Jesus. You know what I would do? I would arm yourself likewise. I would have the same mentality that Christ did in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what I would do. Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from before me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And if you read 1 Peter with an honest, open, intelligent mind, it looks like 1 Peter was written to warn somebody of suffering. It's just like I said in the Bible study yesterday. If I were to ask you, can you prove to me that we, as God's people, born-again saints, the elect, are not appointed unto wrath? You could say, yes, yes, I can. It's right here in the King James Bible. See? We are not appointed unto wrath. Can you prove to me that we're not appointed to tribulation? Prove it. Gary is still going through Clarence Larkin's dispensational proof, dispensational truth. That guy had some major problems, big ones. And he retranslated the Bible because the King James did not say what he wanted it to say. So he retranslated it, or he found a translation that said, well, anyway, I get off of that. Well, that's actually part of this, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let no man deceive you by any means, people. That means me. Don't let me deceive you. You have an obligation and a responsibility to go behind my back and search the scriptures for yourself. I'll even give you the software to do it with. And if you don't trust my software, get eSword. Okay? Don't be deceived by any DARPA means. Don't be deceived. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Don't put the cart before the horse here. And then he says in verse 9, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power. How do you have all power? You track everybody. And signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, I'm going to be a provocateur today. I'm going to provoke you. Okay? I am. I'm going to, in a very loving, because, I mean, you guys, you should know how I feel about King James Bible believers. I think you people are the cream of the crop. I mean, I really do. Especially you preachers, pastors, and laymen, leaders, or whoever, that you had one Bible your whole life, and that was King James, and you kind of looked at the other translations just to compare it, and you said, no, I'm sticking with my King James, and you never left the King James. I can only wish that I had never left it, because I did. And I wish now that I had those years back, and I'll never get them back. And so those of you who love the King James, I hold you in high regard, and I thank you for standing on the Word of God. But I'm going to provoke you that if you say you actually believe every word in this book, I think you ought to love truth. And I'm telling you, get your own copy of Dispensational Truth and examine it and see what Larkin did with the Word of God. Here's what I don't comprehend. I've had to be so careful here lately about hooking in with people or befriending people. Pastor Reg Kelly, that man provoked me to stand for the King James Bible. He can come preach out of my pulpit anytime he wants to. In fact, I wish I could get him here more. Lonnie Burks, Mike Hutzel, some of these men that I've met over the years, some that helped me to mature as a minister in the King James. These guys can preach out of my pulpit any day of the week and twice on Sundays. But I wouldn't have just anybody that I didn't know come into this church and stand in front of people and start preaching or teaching. I got to know that you not only use the King James, you don't use anything else. I got to know that before you stand behind my pulpit. And I know a lot of pastors out there, that's the stand they take, is that they won't tolerate anybody standing behind their pulpit using anything but a King James. Why? Because anything else is not the Word of God, and it's full of lies. And you guys have stood for that for years. Why would you teach a class in your church from Clarence Larkin's writings? Why would you do that? To be honest with you, it makes me suspicious of whether you really believe what you say you believe. It makes me suspicious. I think if you're going to have a King James Bible in your hand and not touch another, I think you have to love the truth along with it. The lie is going to be told to and believed by the people who do not love the truth. That's what that says. Let me read it again. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Strong delusion. If you love the truth, then go look for the truth. Let's see here. Number five. The Department of Homeland Insecurity has launched a program to, quote, facilitate and accelerate the adoption of small unmanned drones by police and other public safety agencies, an effort that an agency official admitted faces, quote, a very big hurdle having to do with privacy. Let me tell you what I think, Department of Homeland Insecurity, about your hurdle. My privacy and my inalienable rights under the Constitution are not a hurdle. They are a very high wall. And they are not meant for you to try to figure out a way that you can get over that wall. So the $4 million Airbase Technologies program, which will test and evaluate small unmanned aircraft systems, is designed to be a middleman between drone manufacturers and first responder agencies before they jump into the pool, said John Appleby, a manager in the DHS Science and Technology Directorate's Division of Borders and Maritime Security. Number six, law enforcement using your own cell phone to spy on you. Mobile carriers responded to a staggering 1.3 million law enforcement requests last year. 1.3 million law enforcement requests to mobile carriers for data and information on you. Number seven, biometric databases. Here we go. Biometric means DNA. The ability to measure or to meter, look into someone's DNA to find out if they are or aren't. In the last 2 years, over 200 million Indian nationals, this is from India, have had their fingerprints and photographs taken and irises scanned and given a unique 12-digit number that should identify them everywhere and to everyone. This is only the beginning, and the goal is to do the same with the entire population, 1.2 billion people in India, so that poorer Indians can finally prove their existence and identity when needed for getting documents, getting help from the government, opening bank accounts and other accounts, and receiving a mark on their right hand or their forehead. I added that part there. That's not what they're telling you, but I added that. RFID make microchips from, are you ready? From, let's see here. Let's see if I can find it again. From Alien Technology. Where are you, Alien Technology? There you go. Northside Independent School District plans to track students next year on two of its campuses using technology implanted in their student identification cards on a trial that could eventually include all 112 of its schools and all of its nearly 100,000 students. District officials said the radio frequency ID tags would improve safety by allowing them to locate students, count them more accurately at the beginning of the school day to help offset cuts in state funding, and enable them to more rapidly get them to receive a mark in their right hand or forehead. I added that one, too. Number nine, automated license plate readers. More than 250 cameras in the District of Columbia and its suburbs scan license plates in real time. helping police pinpoint stolen cars and fleeing killers. But the program quietly has expanded beyond what anyone had imagined of even a few years ago. With virtually no public debate, police agencies have begun storing the information from the cameras, building databases that document the travels of millions of vehicles. And if you don't know what that is, cops with cameras linked to a database as they're patrolling, as they're going up and down Walmart parking lot, as they're going by the Mayflower or the D.C. Madam's house looking for senators, as they're patrolling the streets of D.C., the camera is taking a millisecond glimpse of their license plate. It runs through a database to see whether or not this person has a warrant for their arrest. It's that simple. Or to identify them that they were on this street at that time heading that way. Number 10, face reading software. Can computers tell what you're thinking just by looking at your face? Well, I've been married 26 years. I don't need a computer for that one. New Scientist article. If the computers we stare at all day could read our faces, they would probably know us better than anyone. That vision may not be so far off. Researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology Media Lab are developing software that can read the feelings behind facial expressions. In some cases, the computers outperform people. The software could lead to empathetic devices and is being used to evaluate and develop better advertisements. Number 11, data mining. A company known as Axiom. Somebody look this one up. A-C-X-I-O-M. A-C-X-I-O-M. Let's see if you can find it. Okay. Compiles information on more than 190 million people in the United States. The company fits into a category called database marketing. Started in 1969 as an outfit called Demographics Inc., using phone books and other notably low-tech tools, as well as one computer to amass information on voters and consumers for direct marketing. Almost 40 years later, Axiom has detailed entries for more than 190 million people and 126 million households in the U.S. and about 500 million active consumers worldwide. More than 23,000 servers in Conway, Arkansas. I know where that is. Just north of Little Rock. That's where all of us Hoggards are from. Collect and analyze more than 50 trillion, listen to this, more than 50 trillion data transactions a year. So type in your name. We know who you are. Streetlights spying on us. Let's see here. Federally funded high-tech streetlights now being installed in American cities are not only set to aid the DHS in making security announcements and acting as talking surveillance cameras, they are also capable of recording conversations, bringing the potential privacy threat posed by IntelliStreets to a whole new level. Automated ISP monitoring of your internet activity. If you download potentially copyrighted software, videos, or music, your internet service provider has been watching and they're coming for you. We found this out, year before last, something like that. They announced it, I think it was last year, they announced it on the news that your ISP, which is the company that you pay the bill to get your internet, whether it's Charter, Comcast, AT&T, if you have DSL, HughesNet, some of the satellite companies, that is an ISP. They have been mandated by law to install algorithms in their machinery that sniffs packets of information. If you don't know, when your computer connects to the internet, your computer does what's called a handshake. It's like a Masonic grip. It really is. And once it does the handshake, the computers are sending data to each other, not as a continuous stream, but in packets. And every packet that goes out, there's a checksum so that the receiving end, I'm getting too technical with this, but anyway, the ISPs use algorithms to sniff the packets. literally the algorithms, like the Snoop Dogs, are looking and analyzing the bits, the ones and zeros that your computer either received or sent out, because they know what illegal music smells like. YouTube, I noticed YouTube started doing this. Okay? We had a problem with some of our earlier, like the Christian music video we did years ago. I mean, I just use music. I just download YouTube videos and put them in there. YouTube now, every time I upload something like Pastor Mike Online, that's why I switch to a stock music at the end. YouTube sniffs out my file that I sent to YouTube, and they're looking for copyrighted music. And before it's posted, it's sniffed. And if they find copyrighted music on there, they can either reject it, or they have a way they can just put ads there before you get to watch it or whatever, and so on and so on. So they have the technology. There's ways around all this stuff, but we're living in a world right now where we're running out of ways to be able to stop the knowledge of us. Let's see here. Spying on us through our appliances. There's a term called the Internet of Things. The Internet of Things. Look that up. All of your appliances, all the devices that you have, everything is becoming so-called smart. Your refrigerator knows how much food is in there. Net lets you know you're out of milk. You need more vegetables. Stop. You really don't need this piece of cake. Please take this bowl out. It stinks. Here, smell this to see if it's still in. No, that's my wife. She does that. She'll grab something and go, oh, that's terrible. Smell this and see if it's bad. And I'm going, no, uh-uh. What? My wife doesn't have facial recognition software. I do. When I saw her face, that told me, I ain't sniffing that, Jack. No way, no how. That's the Internet of Things. 14 things that they're using to spy on you. And we're falling for it. Hook, line, and stinker. Here's something else here. And somebody has sent me, they're doing some research on the Book of Enoch. And I haven't been able to look at your email yet, but I'm gonna try to here in a little bit. I'll have to find it again. Here is what who sent me this? Scott. This is what he came up with. He said, I can see the destruction of the text in this. However, on the surface, it may seem harmless. In some verses, man, he's talking about the gender neutral NIV. Bible. He's comparing, and all he did was compare the 84 NIV with the 2011 NIV. Listen to what the NIV has done to itself in just under 30 years. Listen to the ever-changing words, quote-unquote, of God. In 1984, Genesis 4:26 said, at that time men began to call on the name of the Lord. In 2011, at that time people began to call on the name of the Lord. In 84, Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. 2011, blessed is the one who does not walk. The man to the one. By the way, Psalm 1:1, you ever read that and go, yeah, amen, praise the Lord. I don't stand in the... If you look at that with honest eyes, you've done everything that God told you not to do in Psalm 1, haven't you?
Well, yeah.
So you know who that verse is about? It's not about you. It's about Christ. He is the one who meditates on God's law day and night. He's done it flawlessly. So that's Christ in here. And they've just taken Christ out of Psalm 1, calling him the man. What did Pilate call Jesus? Behold, the man. If it would have been Barack Obama, he would have said, you the man. They've changed the man to the one. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. 2011 NIV, even though I walk through the darkest valley. Where's death? I will fear no evil. 84, Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's not even close to what the King James says. The 2011 NIV, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Malachi 4:6, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. That's the 84 NIV. 2011 NIV, he will turn the hearts of the parents. You know why? Because some children have two mommies. Matthew 5:19, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. John 11:27, yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. 2011 NIV, yes, Lord, she replied, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. You see what they did? He's not the Christ. They even altered the Greek text to do that. You still, listen, you want to defend that book, you go ahead. You don't have any legs to stand on to defend the NIV. Romans 16:1, commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. The 2011 NIV, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church. Now we have a contradiction. A deacon by the scriptural law cannot be a woman. Cannot be. You know why? Because the deacon must be the husband of one wife. Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk on wine which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. 2011 NIV, do not get drunk on wine which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. What's the difference here? Instead, be filled. I don't see a difference. Hebrews 12:7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as children. Now stop right here. What's the difference there? Well, obviously they took out the gender. Number two, they took out the inheritance. I can either A, whip my son, or B, I can whip your son. I can whip a whole room of children. I'd go to jail for it, but I could do it. Being children does not mean being my heir, the right to my inheritance. 1 John 3:16, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. NIV 2011, we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Just add to the Bible. You know what? Right here. You just stop right here. Okay? According to Revelation 22, this is scary. According to Revelation 22, those who did this are going to have the plagues of the Bible added to them. Preacher, church member, if I were you and I were smart, I would throw my NIV out. It is a violation of Revelation 22. You can't just add a word to the Bible. You can't do that.
Yeah, I don't like you King James only people.
Yeah, well, I don't like your Bible. So how's that? It's not personal with me. It's not. I don't dislike you because you use some other Bible. I don't. I love you. I want you to have the joy that I've had for the last 14 years, 15 years, whatever, of God just pouring this book into me. That's what I want you to have. Let's see, what else? Vatican to display remains of St. Peter to public for the first time. His soul may be waiting at the gates of heaven, but the bones of St. Peter will be on display for the first time ever later this month at the basilica that bears his name, according to the Vatican. You know what that makes? You know what that makes the Vatican? A whited sepulcher that is full of dead men's bones. I can already see that a two-hour show is not enough. I don't know that I'm going to start doing a three. I don't know. Let me get started on this, and I'll let you kind of take it and run with it, all right? I'm going to do this for just a couple minutes, and I want to read some emails today, because you guys just, you've been waiting for me so patiently today. Let me do this. I was going to do this on Tuesday, and we shortened the broadcast, I guess. It was only 2 hours long. And I'm going to go ahead and announce now that this is going to be the permanent time and duration of the Pastor Mike Online live broadcast. We will now begin broadcasting at 12 p.m. Central every Tuesday and Thursday. And we will go until 2 p.m. Central every Tuesday and Thursday. All right? That will be the new time and the new duration of the Pastor Mike Online live broadcast. Because I needed something more to do. All right? And if I didn't love doing this, and if I didn't just love having fun and being myself and talking stuff out of my head, if I didn't enjoy doing this, wouldn't do it. Okay, but God has just really blessed me with this. Let's deal with take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter 2:11. I want you to get a hold of this. This absolutely fits in with what I told you to do. Earlier today is read 1 Peter. Read the book of 1 Peter. Now, I'm going to say this, and I say it with much respect. I really do. Clarence Larkin would tell you, don't read 1 Peter. That's what he would tell you. Clarence Larkin would tell you that there's nothing in 1 Peter that applies to you as a Gentile believer, ergo, don't waste your time. Years ago, when after I started the Watchman broadcast, and at the end of the Watchman broadcast, I was doing a little Bible study at the end. I don't know if you remember that or not. That goes way back. So I decided to take that Bible study and detach it and do its own thing. Back then, I was doing one Watchman broadcast a week. That was it. And I thought, you know, and some people were suggesting to me that I do a separate Bible study, and I'm going, man, I don't know if I have enough time to do that. That's pretty funny. And but anyway, that's what I started doing. I started doing First Peter. And people watched me then, and they would send me emails, and they would send me letters, and they would say, stop, Pastor Mike, stop it. Stop, don't teach First Peter. That's not for us. Don't do that. In fact, here is Dr. So-and-so's website. You read all of his articles, he'll explain to you how you're not supposed to believe and accept his doctrine of what's in First Peter. So please, Pastor Mike, stop it! And I went, I never heard that before in my life. And they were serious about it, and there are some others out there that still are. They're not only serious about it, they're pretty mean about it. And if you will read 1 Peter, you will understand why certain people don't want you to read that and believe that it's doctrinal for you. They have taken pieces out of the Bible that do not match their doctrine. And so it's just like going to a United Pentecostal. I don't know if you know who they are. United Pentecostals, they teach a work salvation. They're a cult. I'm dead serious. They're a bad one. They teach a works-based, performance-based salvation that if you perform, then you can be saved. And then they do not believe in the Godhead, Father, Word, Holy Ghost. They don't believe it. Even though their Bible says, and these three are one, they don't believe it. And here's how they do it. They say, well, 1 John 5:7 was added by the Catholic Church. They threw that in there. They were all pagans. They were all three-god pagan worshipers is what they were. And they added 1 John 5:7 to the Bible. And so therefore, we don't need it. We take it out of our Bible. So, I mean, I want you to think about this knowledge that you have this doctrine, and it says this, and then you come across a verse that flatly denies this. So instead of you changing this, you change that. You take that verse or that passage out of your way. And either by saying, well, that was added in there. That should have never been added in there. Or by saying, here's my favorite. Well, that was under the law. That's not for us. That's under the law. We don't have to do that no more. Or you say, well, that I am rightly dividing the word. This verse here obviously is not for us because our doctrine says this is for us, and they can't both be the same. They're contradictory to one another. And so our doctrine says this, and if this verse says this, then obviously it's not for us. And that has led, and I am stunned at the people who supposedly say they believe the King James Bible and yet say that God has a different gospel and a different salvation for Israel. That is works plus faith. That is inexcusable. You obviously don't love Israel the way Jesus does. You obviously don't. If you, in your methodologies, have ascribed a different salvation and a different gospel to the people who God loved before you ever showed up on the scene, there's something wrong. And it's a clear case of, I believe this way, this verse doesn't prove what I say. In fact, it contradicts it. So I just simply take that verse out, and I don't, that's not, I just say, that's not for us. So, 1 Peter, I dare you to read it. I dare you to read 1 Peter. And James, because they're telling me now that you can't read James. James, stop reading James. Stop. It's not for you. And then I'm hearing, like, Matthew. Can't read Matthew either. And then there are those, and I know it's maybe not as big a number, but only the 14 letters that Paul wrote is for us. Now, I know I'm going to make some people mad, and I know I'm probably going to get in trouble with some people, and some people are going to make YouTube videos on me over this. But I'm not going to back up anymore. What I'm saying you in love, but there's something you need to know. There's something that I love more than you and your fellowship. And it's that book. And I love that book. And I regard it highly. And I am scared to death to add to that book or take away from it. And if I were you, I would be very careful how I handled the Word of God. Very careful. Because if you read something in your Bible, King James, and it doesn't match your doctrine, and you decide to take it out, the question that I have is, that altering the covenant that you agreed to with God? Is that altering the covenant by taking away words? 1 Peter chapter 2. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And you know what? I'm gonna go to some emails, and I keep wanting to do this, and when I come back Tuesday, I'll start with this. But I want you to study the day of visitation. Let me give you a few examples here. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. You know what that fourth generation is? Think of the fourth kingdom. And they had their seed mingled with the iron kingdom. That's the fourth generation, and God's going to visit them. Job 10:12, thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. I believe that God is going to visit this earth once again. It's the day of visitation. Psalm 80:14, return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. Isaiah 10:3, and what will you do in the day of visitation? And in the desolation which shall come from far, to whom will you flee for help, and where will you leave your glory? Oh, listen to this one. Isaiah 24, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed. Think about what day that is. Listen to this one. Here's Isaiah 29:6, I think, is a direct connection to 1 Peter. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with an earthquake, because God's going to shake everything, and with great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. I believe that's going to happen. And I believe that you and I are being prepared to glorify God in the day of visitation. That's what I think. So we'll pick up on that next Tuesday. But if over the course of the weekend I get something that's just blowing my mind, we'll talk about that. All right? Oh, let's see here. Did I make anybody mad? Debbie says the Antichrist is going to be all about the law and works and is going to look like a good moral guy. You know what? I think I'm with you there. I think I am. He is not. Well, I'll have to think. Debbie, I see what you're saying. And I'll have to kind of give it some thought. All right. He's not the man of lawlessness. That is a mistranslation. He is the man of sin. But as far as looking good, I think he will, and I kind of get your point there. Love will probably be spoken of too. He is going to appeal to man's pride and feed into the idea that we can be good on our own without Jesus' sacrifice. I think you're dead on right there. I think you are absolutely right. And if you just, for further research on that, go listen to Jim Staley and 119 Ministries. Because they are about as anti-Christ as they come. Dead serious about that. Let's see here. Denny says there's a new TV show called The Tomorrow People on the CW. You know what? I'm going to print that out and kind of look into that. I'm running into? Okay, a few years ago, I was just like, you know, collecting little tidbits here and there from different movies and TV shows I saw. As it stands right now, there is no way in the world that I can keep up with all the TV shows, all the movies, and everything else in the world that is putting out these. There's a new one coming on Sunday night, The New Human or something like that. I don't know. It's about a guy and a robot cop. And I bet they're linked together somehow. I just bet they are. By the way, it's the guy who plays McCoy on the new Star Trek. He's good. I like him. I like his depiction of McCoy. Anyway. So I appreciate that. Let's see here. Dear Pastor Mike, this is from Dan Bourne. I'm sure you know, although if you didn't, the Kabbalah channel on all cable companies in Israel is at number 66. No way! Huh. He says, now I was thinking of the connection of communism to the occult symbolism and actions in such regimes, such as Nazism and so on, where the leaders are revered, sung songs of them, praised and such above all others. Are the leaders themselves supposed to enjoy this, or are they real deity behind every Lenin, every Hitler, and over... I see your point. Number one, they do get off on it. It's the pride of man. But number two, we know who the god of that pride is. And so I think that both applies. They're both singing to the leader who is receiving it, but it's also to the God behind them. Let's see here. Todd says, read. Hey, Brother Mike, good show today. The Bride of Christ will be called out before the tribulation period, or what's called Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 37. You would not put your bride through God's wrath, which is the seven-year period of tribulation in Daniel's 70th week. Yes, we will have tribulation in this world, but if you are in Christ, you have overcome the world because Christ has. This world is not our home. John is a type of the church, after John is called out in Revelation 4:1, the church is not mentioned again until Revelation 19:14. And all in deepest respect, Brother Mike, maybe this can help you out. And Todd, I appreciate that. I think you got a good spirit here, and I want to have a good spirit back with you. I really do. But here's some things that are not, they're missing from what you sent me. All right? Number one, you mentioned Revelation 4, that you believe that John was a type of the church. And so he hears a voice as a trumpet saying, come up hither. And you say that's the church being raptured out in Revelation 4. Here's a problem with that. 1 Corinthians 15:51 makes it clear that it's at the last trump, not the first one. And I don't have a choice here. When it comes to what 1 Corinthians 15 says, we shall not behold. I show you a mystery. He's revealing it to us. The mystery is revealed. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. And I've even had some people say, well, Pastor, there's a difference between a trump and a trumpet. No, there's not. No, there's not. Not in the Bible. Not in the King James. There's not. He says the trump at the last trump, and he says, for the trumpet shall sound. It's the same thing. And so, Revelation 4:1, yeah, I see the voice like a trumpet saying, come up hither. My problem is that is not what Paul said how it was going to be. And so, I cannot reconcile 1 Corinthians 15 with that idea that it takes place in Revelation 4. I can't reconcile that. Now, you're right in saying, actually, you're incorrect on something. You say that the church is not mentioned in Revelation 4 until Revelation 19:14. That is incorrect. The church is not mentioned in Revelation, or the word church is not mentioned in Revelation 19. The last occurrence of the word church or churches or anything like that is Revelation chapter 3, the church of the Laodiceans. That's the last occurrence of the word church. But what you see after Revelation 4:1 are terms like the saints. Who's that? You see in Revelation 7, those who have been gathered from all nations, languages, tongues, and kindreds, or something like that. Four groups there. Who are they? You say, well, they're the tribulation saints. And where did they come from? That they were the Gentile world. So to say that, since the word church, and again, the word church is not mentioned in Revelation 19:14. So that technically is not true either. But you have the mentioning of the gathering in Revelation 7. You have the mentioning of the saints in Revelation 13. Do a word search. In fact, let's do that, okay? Let's pull up our software. And let's sweep this with our broom of destruction here. And let's type in S-A-I-N-T and an asterisk to find all the references to the word saint or saints. 101 times. We're not going to look at every occurrence of the word saint. Let's look at the first occurrence, Deuteronomy 33:2. And he cometh with 10,000s of his what? Saints. Okay? That you see in, let's scroll down here. Let's see here. Jude, right there. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the who? The saints. Jude 1:14. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now, I agree that I believe that that is us returning with Christ in Revelation 19. Here's the problem. in Revelation 13:7. And to him, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. And what you hear, and I'll just tell you, if you look in 1 Timothy 5:10, wash the saints' feet. Philemon 1:5. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord and toward all saints. What you're not going to find in the King James Bible is the idea that the word saints only applies like to Israel or to the saints is not the church, in other words. That's, you're not going to find that in the King James Bible. And so if I saw where the word saints only applied to, let's say, Israel, or let's say it wasn't a term applied to those of the Gentile church, if I saw that in the scripture, I would say the word saint does not and is not applicable to us. I would say that. But I can't say that scripturally. If I look at every occurrence of the word saint or saints, I don't see a distinction between whether or not they lived in Abraham's time, David's time, Paul's time, my time, or sometime in the future. I cannot find a distinction there. So, and I'm not being argumentative with you. I appreciate the tone and the spirit with which you're writing me. I believe that you're a King James Bible believer. I believe that with all my heart, and I respect that. But I'm just analyzing what you sent me, and you must understand that I have a roadblock here of scriptures that don't match what you said. Now, here's something else that, again, look at the wrath of God in the scriptures. Look at the word wrath, King James Bible. Then look at every occurrence of the word tribulation or tribulations. Every occurrence. You will see that God definitely, and I agree with you, he has not appointed us unto wrath. But let's pull our scriptures up once again. Let's sweep this with the besom of destruction. Let's type in the word tribulation, an asterisk, so we get all of the versions of the word tribulation. Okay? And let's look at it. Here's the question that we're going to ask. Does the word tribulation ever apply to you and I? Acts 14:22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Romans 2:9, tribulation and anguish. And upon every soul that doeth evil, that's to lost people, and I get that. Okay. But here in Romans, Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Who's that to? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? The answer is no. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so, I mean, we just keep on going here. I'm exceeding joyful in all of our tribulation, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:4. Ephesians 3:13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you. 1 Thessalonians 3:4, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. You won't find a verse in the Bible that says that we as saved people suffer wrath. And I'm sticking with that one. But I cannot say that we will not go through a period called tribulation. I can't say that. My Bible does not allow me. Respectfully, Todd. And you gave a couple scripture references, and I appreciate that. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you can show me from the King James Bible two verses that say that Todd, you and I are going to be of that generation when all of this stuff comes down. Let's just say that you and I are going to be of that generation. I need two verses, two witnesses that tell me that you and I are not going to go through a time called in the Bible tribulation. I need two verses that says that, because I have a lot of verses that are telling me not that we might, but that we must. And I have to stick with that. My conscience won't allow me to go against the scriptures, especially those that I just read. My conscience won't allow me to go against those verses to be in agreement with you. Now, let me just say this, okay? I've equated a lot of these eschatology arguments, and believe me, I take prophecy seriously. But I've equated a lot of these eschatology arguments to an old couple who's fighting and end up divorcing over the winnings from a lottery ticket that they haven't bought yet. Okay? Todd, I think you're a good guy, because I think you still want to be friends here, and I do. What really hurt me here within the last year was the number of King James Bible believers who, because I didn't go along with what they were saying, they called me a heretic. No, seriously, they called me a heretic. They called me, they've warned people against me. Pastor Alex up in Horseheads was warned not to have me at his church. They make YouTube videos on me and everything else. And that, I mean, I'll be honest with you, it bothered me. It hurt me. Because I just wanted to get along with all the King James people and be friends. And they essentially said, you can't be our friend. You're a heretic. That bothered me. It bothered me because I believe every word in this book. But still, and yet, I'm accused by others who say they believe every word in this book. I'm accused by them of being a heretic, and it bothered me. So, and Todd, I appreciate you not doing that. I appreciate that. And I would love your friendship, and I appreciate the challenge that you set forth to me. Okay? And I look forward to another one. But I'm throwing a challenge back. Study not what you've heard. Not the books that you read, not the sermons you heard. Study the scriptures to see whether these things be true or not. That's what I'm asking you to do, and I know that's what you're asking me to do, and I appreciate that. All right? People, I'm going to the woods. I see you. I love you. Todd, I love you. Thank you.